Hello and welcome to the Business Standard Morning Show. I'm Ishan Gera and here are the stories for the day. Riding high on nostalgia, Classic Legends recently launched the iconic YSD motorcycle. The Mahindra Group-backed company hopes to make a cut into the mid-size motorcycle segment with an eye on the affluent class. But what about the other sections of the population for which bike is a necessity? The sales of two-wheelers plunged to lowest in 9 years in 2021. Does the trend reflect the declining purchasing power of people in the middle and lower-income group? Our next report tells us more about it.
Titled Inequality Kills, an Oxfam India report recently said that the country's richest families saw their wealth reach a record high in 2021, while 84% of Indian households saw an income decline during the pandemic. This is called K-shaped economic recovery, which suggests that the rich are getting richer, but the poor are bearing the brunt of the economic disruption caused by the pandemic. This is affecting the purchasing power of those on the lower end of the spectrum. So, apart from the gross domestic product or GDP, which the RBI claims will grow at 8.3% in the fiscal year 2022, there are several proxy indicators that tell us a lot about India's economic growth. One such proxy indicator is the declining sales of two-wheelers. Notably, the sales of two-wheelers in 2021 plunged to the lowest in 9 years. The average inventory at dealerships currently stands at 50 days, against the norm of 25 to 30 days. Economists explain that around 80 to 90% of two-wheeler buyers come from lower-income groups, so a protracted slowdown in the sales of such vehicles effectively puts the brakes on the economic recovery in rural India. Devendra Pant, chief economist and head of public finance at India Ratings and Research, told Business Standard, two-wheeler sales, a proxy of an economy's well-being, have been slipping for 3 years. The consecutive fall indicates that the economic growth, which has been slowing since FY18, is not equitable. The wage growth in rural India, where the majority of two-wheelers are sold, has been slowing down and hasn't kept pace with inflation. In fact, the prolonged impact of COVID-19 is being seen across vehicle segments. In a recent virtual conference, Kenichi Ayukawa, president of the Society of Indian Automobile Manufacturers, explained that in the quarter ended December 2021, passenger vehicle sales touched the lowest point in 5 years, two-wheelers the bottom in 9 years. Commercial vehicles, leaving aside 2020, the lowest in 5 years, and three-wheelers, the worst impacted, tanked to the lowest level in 13 years. We talked to Mitul Shah of Reliance Securities to understand some of the structural reasons behind this decline in auto sales.
So here, the scooter segment decline is much deeper, whereas within motorcycle, entry-level bike segment witnessed much higher decline compared to the premium bike segment. So our understanding here is that the second wave impact, which was slightly deeper and its penetration was in a remote rural. So rural economy got impacted severely compared to urban and compared to last year's situation. And these are the primarily rural-centric products which got more pinch of this second wave impact. So recovery in the rural was slightly slower during the past 6 to 7 months. Additionally, untimely monsoon recently, as well as adverse monsoon situation in few regions, it was a super excessive monsoon, few regions witnessed drought. So this also impacted agriculture output to some extent, which has a more impact on the rural demand, which is also visible in the tractor sales. As we all know, the tractor is the primarily rural product only, and which has reported a double-digit decline in last 2-3 months. So this clearly indicates rural impact is more on the economy consumption side, which has a more impact to the two-wheeler segment. Apart from this, two-wheeler is a very price-sensitive segment, and price hike taken by these companies roughly in the range of close to 10% in last 1 year, over and above 15 to 20% price hike taken during the BS6 transition. So there is a quite sizable jump, roughly to the tune of 30% in last 2.5 years in the vehicle prices.
As the expert pointed out, the slowdown in the rural economy is largely to blame for the decline in auto sales. The most impact is being felt in entry-level segments for both two-wheelers and passenger vehicles. On the other hand, automakers are planning a host of new launches in the premium SUV segment this year. The share of SUVs in the total passenger vehicles sold in India was 38% last year, compared to 29% in 2020 and just 16% back in 2016. Coupled with the index of consumer sentiments and the rate of employment, the trend in two-wheeler sales offers a useful commentary on India's unequal growth. A recent Business Standard editorial also talked about the need to raise the tax to GDP ratio by 5% over time with corrective measures, such as removing tax deductions on investments for individual taxpayers. Besides this, India needs to create a sufficiently large manufacturing base for labor-intensive products, which will help us create jobs at scale and improve income levels.
The impact of pandemic was a tad more devastating for the informal sector. Even the ruling BJP, which is facing elections in 5 states next month, has in a way acknowledged it. Its representatives raised this concern with Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman this week and asked her to extend support to the informal sector and MSMEs in the upcoming Union Budget. Our next report offers a peek into the condition of this sector, which accounts for over 45% of the country's economic activity.
In 2016, demonetization dealt a severe blow to the struggling micro, small and medium enterprises sector, which supports a big chunk of population, and the acknowledgement came 2 years later from the country's central bank after a study. In 2018, the Reserve Bank of India said that MSMEs have been adversely hit by the goods and services tax rollout and demonetization. And just over 2 years later, pandemic dealt another blow to it. Wave after wave, its share shrunk, significantly impacting the overall credit of the sector. It won't be wrong to say that MSMEs are the backbone of the economy. With 63 million units, the sector provides employment to 111 million people, making it the largest source of employment after the agriculture sector. Besides, it contributes to 30% of India's GDP, 50% of exports, and 95% of industrial units. And for inclusive growth, this sector cannot be ignored. It is now looking towards the government for a breather. Economic observers, too, are looking for an inclusive budget from Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman on February 1st. Naushad Forbes, the co-chairman of Forbes Marshall, told Business Standard in a recent interview about what makes an inclusive budget. Here is what he said.
You know, if we can create opportunities for all 1.4 billion people, we'll create wealth for all Indian industry for 30 years and for most of the world's industry for 30 years. I think there are three things that I would say would indicate a more inclusive growth-oriented budget. First, what kind of allocations are we seeing to health and to education? Two more areas which I would recommend is ease of doing business. The best way of including all firms in progress is by making it easier for everyone to do business. Last thing on inclusive growth is what kind of tax policy do we see coming out? A tax policy where you have more exemptions and higher rates is an exclusive policy. It's a policy which excludes people from participating in the economy because you know, you have someone else who's deciding this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, etc. Instead of that, if you have lower tax rates and lower exemptions, then everyone benefits from that lower tax rate.
A recent survey of 150 MSMEs by consulting firm MSMEX revealed that 4 out of 10 businesses changed their business models to survive the pandemic, while 50% of the respondents said government schemes did not help them with sustaining their business through the pandemic. As part of pre-budget consultations, representatives from the ruling BJP and its state units sought support from Sitharaman for the sectors that have been worst affected by the pandemic. These include hospitality, leisure, tourism, and other contact services. Some concerns that were raised during the interaction include the lack of availability of credit, rising cost of raw materials and base metals, and targeted assistance to stressed sectors. We spoke with BJP's national spokesperson and economic cell head, Gopal Krishna Agarwal, on what he's expecting from the budget for the informal sector.
There was concern about informal sectors, availability of credit. Then even the overall this consumer aggregate demand in the private sector is low. So therefore, private investment is not building. Including in that informal sector was about the MSME sector getting more support from the government. So MSME sector was also an important area of concern, where there was an expectation that government will do more. On the MSME, there were two important issues which are coming out after discussion. One is about the credit availability, then their working capital requirement is increasing. And then the third was about this recognition of NPA is a problem for the small and medium businesses due to pandemic. And even this about this raw material and base metal prices have increased over the last couple of months. So that is also an area of concern which people were expecting. People were saying that the finance minister should give more support to this sector.
One of the major demands of the sector is the extension of the Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme beyond March 2022. The scheme was launched in 2020 to help MSMEs tide over the crisis, and its scope was expanded last September. Since its launch, top-up loans worth Rs. 3 lakh crore have been sanctioned from Rs. 4.5 lakh crore limit under the scheme. These loans are 100% guaranteed by the centre and involve no processing fee. A cut in corporate taxes and production-linked incentive schemes worth Rs. 2.75 lakh crore introduced last year have largely benefited big companies. The MSME industry is looking to get a similar boost in the budget.
Spooked by the pandemic, markets too are keenly awaiting the budget. After two straight days of bear hammering, equity markets may stabilize today. The BSE Sensex is holding the 60,000 mark, while the Nifty 50 is just above 17,900 level. Now a sharp move on either side could be triggered by the earnings report card of index heavyweight Reliance Industries. The Mukesh Ambani-led company is set to announce its Q3 results on Friday, and analysts have extremely optimistic earning expectations from the two key segments.
As benchmark indices head lower due to rising global headwinds, stock-specific opportunity amid Q3 results is helping investors trim losses. So far, the December quarter results have largely been positive for the street, with majority of the companies, including Infosys, TCS, HDFC Bank, Bajaj Finance, and Metro Brands, posting better than expected earnings growth. And now, all eyes will be on the earnings report card of index major Reliance Industries, which is scheduled to report its results tomorrow. Global brokerage Morgan Stanley expects the 2 hours, refining and retail, to drive the earnings in Q3, with demand and margin surprises likely in both these segments. For the quarter, the brokerage projects a 9% quarter-on-quarter earnings growth, driven mostly by improvement in gasoline and diesel margins. This will be further supported by retail demand in jewellery, electronics and grocery, for which RIL has already reported positive surprises. Overall, the brokerage expects consolidated EBITDA to rise by 8.5% quarter-on-quarter and 28.5% year-on-year at 27,722.6 crore rupees. This would be driven by oil to chemicals EBITDA growth of 10% quarter-on-quarter, telecom growth of 2% quarter-on-quarter, and retail growth of 35% year-on-year. Back home, analysts at MK Global peg EBITDA growth at 37% year-on-year and 14% quarter-on-quarter, while net profit is seen at 16,138 crore rupees, up 23% year-on-year and 18% quarter-on-quarter. On a standalone basis, analysts expect RIL's EBITDA to increase anywhere between 12 to 15%. Standalone net profit, on the other hand, is seen at 9,906.6 crore rupees, up 13% year-on-year and over 7% quarter-on-quarter. The stock of Mukesh Ambani-led company has advanced over 6% year-to-date on the bourses, and analysts expect it to rise another 17%, up to 2,955 rupees apiece over the next 1 year. This will be triggered by a combination of higher chemical margins, details on the new energy vertical, and new partnerships in key segments. As regards Thursday's session, global headwinds and weekly F&O expiry will likely keep the indices choppy through the day. The frontline Sensex index has tumbled over 1200 points in 2 days and stands at 60,099 level. The Nifty 50, meanwhile, has broken below the 18,000 mark and is at 17,938. On the earnings front, over 40 companies, including Asian Paints, Bajaj Finserv, Biocon, and HUL, are scheduled to report their results today. Among the lot, Hindustan Unilever is likely to clock year-on-year revenue growth of 9-12% on account of price hikes taken in recent quarters. Analysts, however, expect its volume growth to be flat. Moreover, analysts expect nearly 200 basis points year-on-year fall in the company's gross margins due to high commodity inflation. Stock-specific action: initial public offer of AGS Transact Technologies and news flow around the Omicron variant of COVID-19 will be the other key triggers.
Equity markets will have a reason to cheer if the government reins in its fiscal deficit target at 6.25% of the gross domestic product, a recent survey claimed. So as the government presents the union budget on February 1st, all eyes will be on the fiscal deficit. It is the difference between its earnings and expenditure. Our next report explains how the fiscal deficit is calculated and how the government manages it.
In its union budget documents, the center shows revenue deficit, primary deficit, and fiscal deficit numbers. Of them, fiscal deficit is closely watched during the budget. Let us understand what it means. Fiscal deficit of a country is calculated as a percentage of its GDP, and for the current financial year, the government expects the deficit at 6.8% of GDP. In simple terms, it is the shortfall in the government's revenue compared to its expenditure, or when the government spends beyond its income. Fiscal deficit calculations are based on two components: total receipts and total expenditure. Receipts include tax revenue from corporation tax, income tax, GST, and customs duties, and non-tax revenues such as external grants, interest receipts, dividends and profits, and receipts from union territories, among others. Capital receipts like recoveries of loans and advances, disinvestment proceeds, are also part of the total income of the government. While expenditure carried out through various ministries are divided into two categories, capital and revenue. Interest payments are part of revenue expenditure, and loans disbursed come under capital expenditure. Finally, subtracting total expenditure from total income gives the fiscal deficit. Meanwhile, revenue deficit refers to the excess of revenue expenditure over revenue receipts, and primary deficit is measured as fiscal deficit less interest payments. Fiscal deficit is mainly financed through market borrowings. For this purpose, the government issues various instruments like treasury bills and bonds. A budget surplus is a rare phenomenon, and most countries continue to have a deficit. A high deficit at times also emerges if the government is spending on developmental works like construction of highways, ports, roads, and airports. And it is a good sign. The central government's fiscal deficit for April to November 2021, the first 8 months of the current financial year, narrowed to 46.2% of the annual budget target, helped by a rise in tax collections, official data showed recently. In actual terms, the deficit stood at Rs. 6.96 trillion at the end of November 2021, against the annual estimate of Rs. 15.06 trillion, according to the Controller General of Accounts. Officials privy to budget-making exercise recently told the news agency that the government was aiming for a less ambitious fiscal deficit of 6.3% to 6.5% of GDP for the next financial year due to the pandemic.
A widening fiscal deficit may not always be a bad news if the government is loosening its purse strings for infrastructure development like building highways and other economic activities. That's all we have for you today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and analysis. Thank you for watching.
For more news, views and updates, subscribe to Business Standard on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast and Spotify. Also follow us on YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn.